Hi, everyone, and welcome. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Show. Tonight's show is about really how you want your New Year to look in 2011. What do you want more of, and what do you want less of? What if you could have a life with more fun and more joy and more adventure? Does that sound good to you? It sure does to me. To prepare for the show tonight, I checked the dictionary for definitions for resolution and intention because my intention was that the show would be focused on intention versus resolution. Resolution's definition is the act of resolving or determining an action or course of action. And the second definition is the mental state or quality of being resolved or resolute and having a firmness of purpose. Now, that to me, when I hear resolution, it sounds more like a shopping list or a to-do list. And I don't know about you, but I never finish those lists. I never finish my to-do list. There's always carryover. And I never get everything on my shopping list. There's always something that I'm missing. And that's when you do the two-trip thing. But to me, an intention is something way more serious. And the dictionary definition of intention is an act or instance of determining mentally some action or result. And it's the end or object intended or the purpose. And to me, that sounds way more serious. It sounds way more thought was involved than jotting down this list of things you want to do next year, which for most people in general is pretty generic. And intentions, in my mind, are something very person-specific and what you hold near and dear to your heart. And you might not even share your intentions with someone. Most people start the new year with a lot of focus about their resolutions. And then I think we all know you pretty much lose steam by March 1st or maybe even in the middle of February. And if you've been listening to the show for some time, you know that my coaching focus is on where your energy is. When you realize that you're not going to succeed with your goals, you kind of turn into a victim. And then, of course, when you get tired of feeling crummy and, you know, being in that victim mode, you actually kind of get mad at yourself for not reaching the goals or even, you know, why did you even think you could kind of thinking. So, you know, resolutions sometimes cause you to slip, your energy level goes down because you're not able to succeed, and then you get mad at yourself for even thinking that you could. But there is another way to look at that, and I'm going to explain that later in the show, because if you focus on something a little different than just the specific items on your list, I think you'll have more success, and I'd love to help you with that. It's kind of hard to believe, but I actually found at USA.gov what's called popular New Year's resolutions that are popular, you know, year to year. And I don't think these are in any particular order from the government, but the first one is drink less alcohol. And that's been on my list before, so I'm sure other people have had this on there. But actually, it's never been on my resolution list. The next one is get a better education. And I think in today's economy, this is probably something that more than one person would have on their resolution. I didn't know it was a popular one. The third is get a better job, and I think everybody at some point has wanted this on their list because I think success or satisfaction in the workplace is at an all-time low right now, so getting a better job is definitely something a lot of people would want to do in 2011. Another one is that it actually involving getting fit, and I think everybody always has that on their list. Losing weight. I don't really know many people who are at their ideal weight, so I'm sure that this would be right on, you know, in the top 10 of things that people want to do. Manage debt. And again, in this economy, that's a huge thing, so I understand why that's on the popular list. Manage stress. That's another one that a lot of people have in mind. I don't know that they put that on their resolution list, though. I think that's just an ongoing thing that people are trying to work on all the time. The next one on the list is quit smoking. I've never smoked. I don't. I don't really understand it, but I do know that people are very addicted to nicotine, and this is a big thing. So it's understandable that quit smoking's on the list. Save money. Well, we all want to save money, and we want to spend it as well as soon as we get it. So I'm not sure if that's very successful in the long run. The next one actually is about having fun. Take a trip. That's on a resolution. I've been fortunate to be able to take trips, I think, every year of my life, so I don't know that I would put that on my resolution list. This kind of an expectation in my life, even if it's really close, even if it's just a, you know, 4-day trip, but taking a trip is something that is just part of my life, as is the next one on the list, which is volunteering to help others. I've just built that into my life, and I think a lot of people do that as well. They do some kind of volunteer work once a month or, you know, a couple times every 6 months, whatever works out for them. But I think that that's not so much a resolution as just a choice that you make in your life. So overall, I'm sure that a lot of you have made the government's popular list of resolutions, but I'm curious about what the feeling is that you're really aiming at behind making the resolutions, and that's what I'd like to talk about a little later. We're going to take a real short break, and while we're on the break, I'd like you to think about sharing some of your resolutions that maybe you're thinking about for 2011, or maybe your experiences that you've had in the past that were successful or unsuccessful and why they were. Or you might even want to make a draft of your 2011 resolutions right now. Why not? The call-in numbers tonight are 530-413-4520 and 415-287-0074. So I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to hear about your resolutions, their success, their failure, whatever has been an issue for you. So please think about it and call in. Thank you so much. Be back in a minute. the Speed Coaching Show. And tonight we're talking about New Year's resolutions, or as I like to call them, setting some new intentions for 2011. I think intentions is a better word in some respects, because as I said earlier, the resolution list sounds to me more like a to-do list or a shopping list that you're never going to finish, and it just kind of drags over year to year. And an intention to me is something that's very purposeful, it's well thought out, it's personal, it's private, and something that you really want to accomplish in a certain amount of time. Doesn't certainly have to be the next 12 months, could just be in the first 3 months, but it's something that you're really going to focus on thoughtfully, let's put it that way. And as I mentioned, there were some there's a list on USA.gov of popular New Year's resolutions, which I just read, and some of them are, you know, pretty generic about better job, better education, lose weight, get fit, manage stress. There's really only one fun thing on it, which I thought was definitely a negative, and that was taking a trip, which, as I said, is something that I definitely take time to do every year. And then there was something that was a giving back situation, which was volunteering. And I don't think people would put that on their resolution list. I think it's something that they intend to do, and it just kind of turns into part of their life. I do have some very funny resolutions that I found as well. And as you can guess, there's a lot of references to the internet in these funny resolutions. And the first one, I will admit that I'm guilty of, but I'm not going to change it. Just for today, I will not sit in my living room all day in my PJs. Instead, I will move my computer into the bedroom. Well, I thought this was funny when I read it, but I don't really have a problem with sitting in the living room in your PJs if you're working. That's okay. I think if you're still in your PJs, say like at 2 p.m. in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that might be a problem, but that's just my personal thing. You know, be dressed before noon, but working in your PJs in the morning is certainly fine. Another one that I thought was funny was, I will not bore my boss with the same excuse for taking sick days. I'll just think of some more excuses. Well, you know, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. I will no longer waste my time reliving the past. Instead, I will spend it worrying about the future. Now, I know a lot of people do that because, as you know, the past no longer exists, and the future is just your imagination. So if this person says that they're going to quit reliving the past and they're going to worry about the future, so they're kind of trading one bad thing for another. And, I part of that isn't very funny because I know people do that. This is one I think a lot of us have a problem with. I'll try and figure out why I really need 9 email addresses. I think in my situation, I only have like 3 email addresses, but I have a million passwords. I have a million passwords. And here's another internet one. I'll spend less than 1 hour a day on the internet. This, of course, will be hard to estimate since I'm not a clock watcher. I thought that was funny because, you know, once, I don't know if you're like me, but once I get online and I Google something or look something up, it's like pulling a thread on a sweater. It just unravels. You are just lost. You look at the clock and it's like, oh. I mean, I always seem to lose 36 minutes at a time. I don't know where that comes from, but every time I look up, I've lost 36 minutes because I'm surfing the net, and it's very interesting, and I'm accumulating a lot of, you know, somewhat interesting data in my brain or things that I can share with people, but I'm definitely wasting a lot of time. So, you know, that would probably be one of my personal intentions, that I would want to spend less time off track. Here's one for a man, because I know this is all about men. I will read the manual just as soon as I can find it. I think that doesn't really pertain to women, and I know that sounds sexist, but I don't think men really ever read a manual. And I won't worry so much. That's another one. Well, just the idea that you're talking about not worrying so much makes it sound like it's a job. And, you know, when people say, oh, then I won't have to, I'm going to stop this so I won't have to worry about it. And I always ask them, you know, you have to worry about it. Are you getting paid to do it? I think that's such a funny thing when people say that they won't have to worry about something anymore because, you know, you never have to worry about anything. Now, here's some funny resolutions that you might be tempted to keep, because these are for people who are scared of making resolutions, and these they might actually succeed at. And the first one is spending more time watching TV. I think there's a lot of people who watch way, way, way too much TV. I think you're only supposed to watch like 2 hours a day. Otherwise, I think your brain starts, you know, unraveling or something. You're going to spend more time on the phone or internet. Now, remember, these are funny resolutions that you could actually succeed at. Another one is read less. Well, you know, read less, watch more TV. I don't know what happens to your brain when you do that, but I don't think it's a good thing. This one I think is really funny. I'm going to put this down in mind. I want to gain weight. I want to put on at least 30 pounds. Well, I don't really want to put on 30 pounds, but I'm sure some people might have a goal that they do want to gain weight, but this is just in jest. They want to drink and drink some more. They want to spend less time at work. Now, who doesn't want to do that? That's kind of a no-brainer. This one I think is funny. Stop bringing lunch from home. I should eat out more. There's so many things that you could put on your resolution list that you know that you would succeed at, and then, you know, maybe that would make you feel better. I don't know. Jay Leno has a funny quote, and this relates to the fitness and the weight thing. He said, now there are more overweight people in America than average weight people. So overweight people are now the average, which means you've met your New Year's resolution. I thought that was great. That'll make some people feel good. I have a quote, actually, it's not a quote, it's a dog's New Year's resolution. I will not chase that stick unless I actually see it leave his hand. Well, I thought that was pretty cute because, you know, you can trick a dog pretty easy and they're just going to go run no matter what you do, even if you're faking. Here's another quote. Many people look forward to the new year for a new start on old habits. Well, there you go with that shopping list of resolutions again. Because I think that the whole concept of resolutions is flawed because it's always getting you to that place where you're making a long list that has your, things that you probably really deep down inside know you're not going to achieve, but you just list them anyway. Oprah Winfrey says, cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right. Well, you know, I think that sounds really positive. I think that's a good way of looking at it, rather than just thinking about, you know, it's never going to happen. And here's another one. When we once begin to form good resolutions, God gives us every opportunity of carrying them out. There you go. I think the key is to make the right resolutions, which leads me to the idea of how to make a resolution or an intention that would have more chance of being successful. So if you were to say to me, if I go back, I want a better job, if you were to instead try and decide what the feeling is behind that, so the feeling about why you'd want to get a better job would be probably, this is just off the top of my head, probably that there would be some more money involved, and having more money involved would make you feel more secure. You'd probably want a better job because it would give you the feeling of maybe more prestige. You would want a better job because the better job would give you a feeling of, maybe moving forward in your career. So what's really behind the resolution of getting a better job are those feelings that you want. You want a feeling of more security. You want a feeling of prestige. You want a feeling of getting ahead. So if you focus on the feelings of it, you know, you might get those feelings another way. You might really not need another job. There might be something else that you're totally unaware of that could happen that could give you those feelings. Another one would be, let's say, the losing weight. And I think, since I'm a woman, from a woman's standpoint, the feelings behind losing weight would be that you want to feel more confident, you want to feel more attractive, you want to feel... I think it might give you more of a sense of security if you were in a relationship, just because you know that you were, you know, looking your best. And of course, it would give you a feeling of knowing, which I don't think is always the primary one. It would give you a feeling that you were really, taking good care of yourself and extending your life, you know, maybe for your family. So basically what I'm saying is that when you make these lists and make the intention, set the intention, you really need to examine what the feeling is behind it, because you may be able to get that feeling a different way, and it could be totally unexpected. And you just need to leave yourself open to that. And if you're looking for, let me see, there was fitness, smoking. I want to quit smoking. The feeling behind quitting smoking would be that, I think primarily that your health would improve, and, you know, overall that would make your life better. But you're probably fighting some, you know, negativity from people around you because you are a smoker, because, you know, nobody's in love with a smoker anymore. So you might be, say, I'm not going to say discrimination, but you know what I mean. You know, people at work, you know, give you a look. Your family's probably pretty disappointed with you if you're smoking a lot. So that feeling that you'd want that feeling of being, you know, I'm one of you again. I'm not this alienated person who has to go stand outside halfway through dinner and have a cigarette. So I think if you're probably getting, you know, an idea of what the feelings are behind these things that you need to focus on. So what I'd like you to do is, if you do have a resolution list or a list of intentions, to kind of go backwards and try and figure out what it is you're really, really after. Because as I said before, what you're writing on your list might not really need that. You're just looking for the feeling that you can get in more than one way. So, you know, I'm curious as to what intentions or resolutions that you're going to set to make your life more of an adventure in 2011. Because, as you know, I'm a your life is an adventure coach, and my life has certainly been an adventure. And I think part of that is how I set my intentions and where I wanted to go. And oftentimes, your intentions can be a very short, you know, very limited amount of time. You want to accomplish something in a certain amount of time. And, you know, maybe you have to make some kind of a process and write it out just so you know where you're going with it. But to, you know, set an intention, make your life more of an adventure, and the feeling I would get from doing that would, as I said before, you know, my life would be a lot more fun. Your life would be probably have a lot more joy. And overall, you'd probably feel a lot better because you'd most likely be always experiencing something new and different all the time and making yourself do that, you know, not just content with the status quo and, you know, stepping out of your box and just seeing how that feels. Because nothing is worse than just saying in the same as they say where I used to live. That doesn't really feel very good. It doesn't feel good to me at all, and I'm sure it doesn't feel good to a lot of people. So right now, if any of your resolutions are on the government's list, it's probably the only time you'll ever be on the government's list with this short list that they have for the ones that are repeats over and over again. But I'd love you to call in and tell me what your resolutions are, how you've managed them in the past, and, you know, where you want them to go. And maybe just shifting your thinking a little bit about the difference between a resolution and an intention to make 2011 a really, really, really great year for all of us. I think this last year, year and a half, oh, actually 2 years, has been really hard for a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of it is the economy. Things financially have not gone well for many, many people. And it's been very difficult. But, you know, most people have given up hope that, you know, things will get better eventually. So, you know, it's like keep the faith, baby, kind of thing. We're going to take another short break, and I'd like you to call in and let me know about your New Year's intentions and, you know, where we can go from there. So looking forward to talking to you. Thanks. everyone. This is Brenda at the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program, and tonight we're talking about New Year's resolutions or New Year's intentions, whatever you'd like to call them. And we do have a caller on the line. I think her name is Eloise. Eloise, are you there? Hello?
Hello, Brenda. Can you hear me?
Hi. Is this Eloise?
This is Louise.
Oh, Louise. Oh, pardon me. Pardon me.
Eloise.
When I think of Eloise, I think about those books about the little girl who lives at the plaza.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Darling little girl.
Yeah, the only Eloise I've ever known. So do you do New Year's resolutions, Louise?
When I was younger, I did, but what I find interesting is resolutions, intentions, why do people just do them on New Year's? I just figure if I do one simple one every day, I find I have much better outcomes. I just can't understand, you know, why people get all excited about New Year's intentions when they should be thinking about it daily. It's just a lot easier. And some people make resolutions or intentions, and they don't follow through, and then they feel guilty, especially if they're brought up Catholic, which I was. So I just find it's easier just to make an intention every day.
Well, I think that's a great idea, but how did you get to that point? That was a leap.
Well,
you must have had.
Frustrated.
Okay, so it didn't work for you before.
After years of, you know, everyone has fun, you know, what's your resolution this year, and then no one really following them, I just came to a better place as I matured in life to really be conscious of every day. I think the greatest gift you can give yourself or the greatest present is presence of mind. You know, to think about how is this day going to be, and I found that if I can focus each day, I've lived a very positive, great life, you know, filled with achievements, small ones and big ones. And so I just saw your title, you know, and I thought, I don't like New Year's intentions. I like daily intentions.
Well, most people haven't gotten to that mental place that you are about, you know, really thinking consciously of what they want to accomplish on a daily basis. It's usually as I call it, it's like a shopping list, which, you know darn well you're never going to get done, and then you get upset and cranky with yourself, and then I think people just totally throw in the towel, don't you?
Well, I think I've been in business for a long time, too, and you set goals every day, every month, every year. And I think that probably has helped me formulate, you know, if I think about something, it does become reality. I've watched that movie Secrets about the law of attraction, and I think Einstein even said your imagination is the window to your next reality. So I really believe in what you think becomes reality.
But I'm really curious about when you had this shift, though, about when you realized that, you know, it wasn't working the other way.
Probably when I went through a divorce about 11, 12 years ago. And it really made me think consciously about my life, my children's lives. And I think that probably was a start.
So it was like a big life event, life-changing event that got you really more aware.
You up.
Yeah, your cosmic kick in the head.
You were talking about the economy, and you said keeping the faith. Well, that is so true. A positive attitude. I mean, look at it like, yay, I get to do whatever I want for a while. You know, just be positive.
So how do you think we can better, you know, I'm sure growing up as a kid, everybody hears about New Year's resolutions. It's just kind of a popular thing, just like going out on New Year's Eve. And I actually think a lot of people do it, because otherwise, why would this be on, you know, a government website of popular resolutions? I mean, I was really surprised by that. that they actually are aware of what people are writing down for their resolutions, because, you know, I think it's well documented that
they write
work,
it down.
But,
they do it on the web. Figure everyone can see what you put on the web. You know, someone could be listening to her phone call. It's like, don't worry about it. You know, if you want to do a New Year's resolution, but if
so
you
do
fail,
your kids,
you know, don't kill yourself.
Did you teach your kids how to do the daily thing then, or what? How do you think they're operating?
I taught my kids just to live life to the fullest, because we're really here such a short period of time. And my son is very young. He's 28, and he's been all over the world, and he's done great things. And my daughter has lived in the same city her whole life, and she does great things in that city. Mm-hmm. So I've taught them to reach out and help, and karma comes around at tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's, you know, Christian karma, whatever, we all teach the same thing, and they have appreciated life, and I think their lives are fuller for it.
And you mentioned that having been in the business world a long time, you're used to setting business goals and objectives, and, you know, you want to reach a certain, like, sales
and
level
and following
whatnot.
Through and delivering what you promise. And you have to do that with yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you
deliver
have...
what you promise.
Besides Louise's daily intentions and daily goals, you have your... you have, those are your personal ones, I think. And then you also have these exterior, outside ones that are associated with your work and that sort of thing.
Correct.
Okay. But they work together.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
Through my business, if I can help people lead fuller lives or have something that they didn't have before that can truly help them,
mm-hmm.
that makes me feel good. And that, to me, is achieving some of my goals.
And how do you think, like, right now, how do you think we could best teach this to, like, younger people? Because I meet, I'm glad I'm not in my 20s right now and right out of college. This would be, you know, a tough time, because I probably wouldn't find a job in my field, that sort of thing. I mean, how do you teach kids how to do this? I mean, is it something, don't learn
with
it in
my
school.
Own kids, teaching them. When they do something, if they feel they're making a difference, they get great satisfaction. And when they do make a difference, and they help the world, and it helps them feel better. And so when you say kids nowadays, I know so many kids who are very, very thoughtful in what they do and why they do it. And so I guess I'm not real familiar with what you're saying.
Wow, that's amazing, because I was pretty clueless when I was that age. I mean, you know, I just wanted to get through school and, you know, get a job. I wasn't, like, hot to get married, but I definitely just wanted to get going and earn a living and that sort of thing. I really wasn't thinking about, living an intentional life.
All my school years, and I thought, okay, now it's time to work. And I started working, and just having a good attitude. And some people say at times, especially when I was younger, that I always looked through rose-colored glasses, and I thought, I don't care. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can see the reality also.
I mean, I'm the eternal optimist. I actually just, on the break, I'll run this by you. This is interesting. The last minute of the last program, they were talking about the eclipse tonight, which I said if I, remember to get up at some point, I'll look out my window, because I'd love to see it, but I need to get up early. And they said it was the darkest night in 600 years, which at first sounded a little creepy. And then I thought, oh, my God, if it's the darkest night in 600 years, then tomorrow is going to be spectacular.
Well,
doesn't that sound cool?
It is cool. And when I read that in the paper this morning, I thought, oh, there must be an eclipse, because it's the longest night of the year. But if it's the darkest night in 600 years, it's like, okay, what would make it darker? And that would be an eclipse when you think about it.
Yeah.
The planets aligning with the moon. And
It's
pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why I said, the way she said it, in 600 years, it sounded a little creepy. But then the minute I heard that, I thought, oh, my God, tomorrow's going to be, is like the dawn of, something big.
It's always darkest before dawn.
Yeah, I was really excited about it.
It's a big dawn.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're using the example of you being always optimistic and positive about things, and I am as well. So, you know, the darkest night in 600 years might make some people a little nervous, but it, to me it just sounded really swell.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get up tomorrow and see what's different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, so today, I mean, do you keep your intentions private? That's the other thing I was going to ask.
Well,
you know how people talk about their resolutions, and to me an intention is, unless it's like a big thing about, you know, something that I would share with a friend, otherwise pretty much they're pretty private. You know, what
it's just, for me, it's part of my daily routine. When I get up, I thank God, because I'm Christian. Someone else might thank the universe, or someone else might thank the Supreme Force, whatever. You just be grateful.
Uh-huh.
And then I think about what is coming in this day, and I have a pretty, you know, tight calendar, and I knew what I wanted today, and I did accomplish that, and I'm excited about it. So,
yay!
So I go to bed, you know, happy, and thank you!
I
am pretty optimistic.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, my coaching website is Your Life is an Adventure, and my life has definitely been an adventure. So I'm just curious, before you get off the phone, how you are, or if you are or want to, make your life more of an adventure in 2011.
Oh, no. I lead a life filled with adventure. It's really incredible, and so I'm really grateful. So
yours is always an adventure. That's great. Good for you. You're a good role model.
Well, I enjoy life.
There you go. Well, thank you, Louise, so much for calling in tonight. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I think you gave a lot of people, you know, a different way of looking at things, just because it's part of how you operate right now in your life, and it's very successful.
Well, thanks, Brenda. It was fun listening to your show, and tonight, think how well you're going to sleep with it being so dark.
Yeah, but I use an eye mask.
You're going to wake up rested.
Did you hear me?
I
use an eye mask. It's always dark at my house.
No, I didn't hear that. All right. You have a great evening.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that caller, Louise, I don't know where she was from, but that was a good example of someone who's really thought a lot about this process and realized that making the big whoop-de-doo thing for the beginning of the year quit working for her at some point. And when I asked her when she got to that point, how that happened, she said she had a big, you know, life-changing situation. She got divorced and everything shifted, and she, you know, really kind of started rethinking how her life was working and that sort of thing. So it got her on a totally different path, and it sounds like it's very successful for her, and that's always fun to hear, because nothing, you know, it's hard to listen to people's failures, and if they had only known one little thing a little bit earlier, it might not have happened. But, you know, everybody's on their own path at their own speed, and we can't move people along any faster than they're willing to go. So, as I said, she's a good example of someone who does a daily intention setting, and also, obviously, at the same time, since it sounds like she's a businesswoman, she does her big businessy kind of intentions at the same time. But otherwise, what she does is just do a daily intention, and obviously she says thank you as well before she gets up in the morning, which I think is a really big part of it. And I know I explained earlier about the idea of trying to determine what the feeling was behind your intention or your resolution, because that really is the key to being successful. And the examples that I was talking about were things like, you know, why would you want to lose weight? How would that make you feel? You know, what would your sense of well-being be if you actually accomplished that sort of thing. And it really does open you up to other ways of getting that feeling. And it's, you know, the universe knows so many different ways to get you to that place. So if you let go of the fact, if you write down, I want a new job, that's pretty confining, because if you talk about how that new job would make you feel, something could happen at work, something dramatic, your job, could you could stay working for the same company, you could get a new boss, get new responsibilities. I mean, all these things could happen in the blink of an eye if you're open to it, and then you would have those feelings that you're seeking, and it's not within the confines of that generic sentence, I want a new job. So I'd love to hear from somebody who's, you know, done the list, has been unsuccessful, and maybe, you know, looking for a way to make things work a little bit better for themselves. And the key behind it really is looking for the feeling behind it and not letting yourself get constrained by that strict sentence structure, because that's not going to work. Just like if you say, I want more money, that resolution is not going to work. I can guarantee it, because you have to know why you want the more money, why you want more money. And if you want more money because you want a bigger house or something, I mean, you have no idea what could transpire that maybe you really, really don't even want that. You don't have a clue unless you really examine what the feeling is behind your request. So I think if you do have a list, you should examine it and really see what else is on there that if you formulate the sentence, getting a new job would give me the sense of well-being and the feeling of blah, blah, blah. That's really the route you should go, because that would give you a lot more opportunity about what the universe can throw in your lap. I think that would be great. And I wanted to tell you just a little bit more about the type of coaching I do. It's called Core Energy Coaching. And I got into it, I think, primarily because I was always a person that people wanted to go to for advice, and I always had all the answers because I was the answer lady, and I was giving them advice. I wasn't coaching them. And then I found out about coaching, which is totally different, because coaching is all about what you want to accomplish and your agenda, not mine, and getting you to think through the steps that would get you to where you want to go, which is what we're really talking about tonight. Setting a resolution is all about getting you to a better feeling place. And that's what coaching is all about. And you know how you, I use the example of the crabby people in line at the store, and I'm sure there's a lot of crabby people right now at the store because I was out today. I don't know why I thought I should go to the mall. It was a disaster. I never found a place to park. I just came home. So you really need to focus on where your energy is at all times, and you can be that crabby person in line. You can be the person that shouts at cars on the freeway. You know, your energy is not where it needs to be when you're behaving like that. You know, once you get into that angry mode, or you think you got into the wrong line, and you always get into the wrong line at Walmart or Target or whatever. So once you realize where your energy is, you can shift it, and you can feel better immediately if you just let go of feeling sorry for yourself or being angry. I call it flipping your switch. And you can do it really easily. And to paraphrase some words from the Law of Attraction, it's you reach for the thought that feels the best. So instead of feeling, you know, the woe is me thing, think, I'm really glad that I'm standing in this line because I obviously have money to pay for this. I know that sounds really simplistic, but that's the beginning of shifting your thought, is reaching for the thought that feels the best. So going over this list again from the government, I'm sure a lot of you have these on your resolution list, and I like the way the caller Louise explained how she does her intentions every day, so she doesn't ever have this list staring her in the face. She doesn't have a list probably on her fridge. She's probably not worried about how much she's going to eat over the next couple of weeks, because she's got, you know, an intention to take good care of herself and be mindful of what's going on in her life and that sort of thing. It is hard to do that. I think it's a struggle. You have to be really thinking about it and very aware of what's going on with your thoughts, because your thoughts are, you know, take you to a lot of places that maybe you shouldn't be going all the time, especially if you're thinking about, as I mentioned before, feeling a little bit sorry for yourself or angry. about whatever it is. So we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the feelings behind making some resolutions, and talk about what we're going to do in January, because I've got some fun stuff planned. So we'll take a little break, and I'll be right back. Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Brenda again with the Meeting Brenda Coaching Show. And tonight we've been talking about the ordeal of making resolutions that you never accomplish, and also about setting intentions. And I realize that to a lot of people, they're very similar in nature. I usually think of an intention as being more mindful and purposeful and personal is how I treat them. And we had a caller earlier tonight that was telling us about the fact that she makes a daily intention as to how her day goes, and actually it's worked really well for her. She gave up doing resolutions on a yearly basis a long time ago because it didn't seem to be successful, and now that she's setting daily intentions, her life is running a lot more smooth. Plus, I think it sounds like she's very conscious and very self-aware of where she is in life and, you know, how she wants it to manifest. So that's was a really good example of someone who's using setting intentions in a real positive way. So I would recommend to those of you who are listening that you give up on setting your New Year's resolutions this year just once and see if anything changes. And my recommendation to you is to think about what the feeling is behind what you really want to accomplish. The example that I used earlier was getting a better job and, losing weight, that sort of thing. And if you really look inside and determine what those feelings are that you would gain from that accomplishment, that's what you want to, that's what your goal should be. That's what your goal needs to be, because that can come about in so many different ways that you can't even imagine. And by limiting yourself by saying, my goal is to get a better job, my goal is to lose weight, my goal is to make more money, those are way, way, way too generic. You need to really stop and think about what it is that you really want, the feelings that you're going to get when you achieve those things. So take a moment and I guess I'll call it, you know, kind of decode what it is your resolution really is, because then you're going to get to the bottom of it, and that'll be really interesting. Because I did this for I guess the last month, about what the feeling is I'm looking for behind certain things that I want. And quite a few of them are, I guess, professional things that I want to accomplish. And behind those are, you know, really personal feelings that I'm seeking in life. And I think I know the way to get those feelings, but I am always totally open to whatever else comes along. And that's, you know, why my life really is an adventure, because I will change gears in a heartbeat. If something's not working, I will drop it. I don't care how much it costs, how much time I spent doing it, getting to that point. I will let go of it easily and go with something that, you know, pops up, because that's where things get really interesting. If you're open to taking the detour, as I guess I'll call it, the detour, because that's kind of what it is. But you have to be willing to let go. You have to just be willing to drop everything and not care how much time and energy you put into something, or money, especially emotional involvement. You just have to be able to say, you know what, this isn't working, and I see another, you know, another driveway here. I'm going to go down that one. So you have to be able to do that. So by shifting your thinking about your resolutions into more of a what's behind it, what the real feeling is where you're going to get a lot more success, I think. And I don't know where your energy level was when the show started tonight. I'm always curious as to how listening to callers and, you know, whatever information that I'm able to share with you shifts your energy over the course of the show. Because the fact that you're even aware of where your energy is from moment to moment gives you, you know, you're kind of way ahead of the pack if you're able to do that. And that, again, is part of being self-aware. So if you started out the show, if you were a little bit, I'm going to say, grumpy and everything from however your day went, and now listening to this and getting a little bit excited about, you know, the future and how things might be different, and using the caller's example of doing a daily intention, I'm guessing that your energy level is higher right now, and you're going to go to sleep and, you know, want to get up tomorrow on the dawn, at the dawn of the night after the darkest night in 600 years. I'm still really surprised by what I heard earlier tonight about that. I think that's such a great idea that tomorrow could be really, really an interesting day. I'm kind of counting on it in my life anyway. So I asked you to rate your energy level, see if you're, you know, above, if you were feeling sorry or grumpy at the start of the show. And even if you're still like that, I'd like you to flip your switch, as I call it, and feel better right now, because you know what? It is your choice. No one's making you feel that way. Nobody's paying you to worry about anything. Just, you know, flip your switch and think about something positive. And I wanted to remind you that I'd love to work with you as a coach and help you create a life that's more fun and has more joy and more adventure. So I'd like you to please visit my website for more information. And you can always contact me through the meetingbrenda.com website. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I do have a new coaching opportunity for you. I'm going to be starting a new group coaching session beginning in January. It's going to be limited to 6 people. I find that 6 people is a really nice size group to work with, and this will be by teleconference, and it will take place on either Sunday evening or Tuesday evening, depending on what the group decides. So that will be posted on my website soon, and I'd love you to think about that, because it's a very affordable way to work with me, and also you really do get a lot out of listening to what other people are going through. So it's very synergistic. And in the first show in January, January 3rd, back by popular demand, is Coach Jamie Saginaw from Los Angeles. And if you listened to her before, her specialty is health and wellness, and I think she'll have lots to share about how to make 2011 your healthiest year ever. So remember to call in, because she'd love to work with you and just coach you on the spot. And thanks so much for sharing your lives with me tonight. And I'm looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. Just remember that life is an adventure, and there's more than one road to the finish line. Good night. Thank you.